Hello, welcome to episode 71 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, along with my co-host and MMO executive editor, Mike Mayer. Mike, it's been a little bit here between the two of us. Nice to catch up again. And maybe it worked out because the Mets made a couple of signings since the last time I saw you here. So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it feels like the Mets bullpen is quite a bit different since the last time we've talked.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been somewhat of, I guess, of an interesting offseason for the Mets. Obviously, we know it hasn't been any of those huge splash kind of deals, so to speak. You know, with new president here, David Stearns, kind of taking the reins and feeling his way around. But like we mentioned, the Mets did, they actually made three bullpen signings, two new, one of which a familiar face that we know that we'll get to. But obviously, the first two names that jump out are obviously Jake Dietman and Shintaro Fujinami. We'll obviously get to both. I saw a stat the other day that the Mets didn't throw a pitch over 100 miles an hour, I believe, last year. In Fujinami, they have a guy who definitely can do that. Hopefully, he can command the plate, but we'll get to that. But first things first, obviously, the Mets had another left-hander to go along with Brooks Raley with Jake Diekman. Up and down year last year, I would say the least, but I think once he made that move to the Rays, obviously pitched better for them last year. But just want to get your kind of initial thoughts on the Diekman signing before we get into anything else here.
Yeah, it'd been kind of rumored the last two or three weeks that the Mets were looking to get a second lefty. And they also had been just looking in general at pitchers that got left-handed hitters out, right? Like, it doesn't just have to be a guy who throws with this left hand that gets lefty hitters out. A guy like Stanek that they had shown interest in previously gets lefties out at a pretty high clip too. So the fact that they were able to get a guy, though, that gets lefties out at a relatively cheap price. I think it was 1 year, $4 million with a vesting option. I mean, I think that's a nice boost to the Mets bullpen. Sure. I mean, after really on the 40-man roster, they don't even have a ton of options that are left-handed. Right. They have like Joey Lucchese. That's essentially what they have for, I mean, they got Josh Walker too, but he doesn't have a ton of major league time. And honestly, he could be one of the guys on the block when they need to, because they're going to need to designate two players for assignment once these signings are official. So Josh Walker could be one of those guys.
Sure.
So just to get another lefty option is certainly a good move for the Mets. I do want to mention they did invite left-handed reliever Nate Lavender, pitching prospect. Okay. To big league camp, so I think he's definitely a guy to watch later in the season. Diekman struggles or just injuries happen, that type of thing, so keep an eye on Lavender. But to get back to Diekman, yeah, I mean, he went to the Rays and just was what relievers are when they go to the Rays, right? Like, he struggled to start the year, went to the Rays, 2.18 ERA,
right,
striking out 29% of the batters he faced. Just very good. I mean, his walks were a little high, but that's kind of who Jake Diekman is anyway. He's a guy that, even though he's been around and had quite a bit of success in the big leagues, really, he's always been a high walk guy. So those are going to be there. But, yeah, he's had quite a – like I said, he's been a fairly solid lefty reliever for quite a long time in the big leagues. And – obviously, it's good to see that he was able to show that in the second two-thirds of the season last year with the Rays. And I just think it gives the Mets, which to this point, I mean, it's been a lot of, like, sign guys to minor league deals, claim guys off waivers, or just really small one-year deals to build a bullpen. And I think we've mentioned it before that I think that's a really good way to build a bullpen, especially when you already have that guy, like – and Edwin Diaz, you have that really high-priced guy that's going to close games, that's going to be pitching all the big levered situations. So you already have that set in stone, and you want to make sure you try to get guys to get there. Raley is a good guy to have at the end of the bullpen. Diekman is a guy that has plenty of experience pitching in high levered situations, pitching against really tough left-handed hitters. And so I think this certainly complements really well. And it gives a little bit more of a sure thing than the rest of kind of the other guys that they've compiled, that kind of hope that some of those stick. and or a couple of those guys jump out and become good big league relievers for the Mets. But I think Diekman has a little more certainty to him than the rest of the guys they signed this offseason.
Yeah, sure. You know, to a couple points, like you said there, obviously, you know, guys go to the Rays, especially relievers, they seem to turn things around. But to your point, obviously the walks are kind of high, like you're mentioning here. I'm looking at it. He walked it, look, about 25 guys in 45 and a third innings for the Rays. But you look at his home run totals, only gave up two home runs in, it looks, about 45 innings against the for the Rays. Gave up one in 13 innings for the White Sox previously. So he keeps the ball in the ballpark. I think that's something to look at and be excited about, especially, you know, in a place like Citi Field. You know, obviously, if you're jamming the bases up and things like that, with walks, it can hurt you. But it's nice to see that he's able to keep the ball in the ballpark. I think that's promising. You know, and like you kind of said, as far as, you have your closer in Edwin Diaz, right? You have that kind of stud, that big back-end guy. But like we've kind of talked about with Stearns, you know, part of his calling card in Milwaukee was finding kind of these diamonds in the rough, so to speak, right, in the bullpen. And I don't really care, you know, whether it's the Brewers or Stearns or any teams really per se, teams that compete and do well, you got to be able to find and develop a couple of these kind of guys, especially in the bullpen, that may not, you know, shine as bright as far as names that you may know, but guys that you could either develop or see something with that turn out well. So I'm hoping that a couple of these kind of guys that they're bringing in here are going to have that high upside. And obviously talking about that kind of stability with Diekman, on the other end, talking about Fujinami, you got obviously a guy that had another 7+ ERA last year, but the stuff is through the roof. We know he throws so hard. Talked about it before. You know, the Mets didn't have anybody throw over 100 miles an hour last year. This is going to change between, you know, Fujinami and Diaz. That'll get blown out very quick. But I just want to get your thoughts on a guy like this. And as far as with what we're talking about, Stearns kind of finding those diamonds in the rough, this certainly could be one of those arms that we're talking about here for 2024.
Yeah, and I think one of the first things you think about, like, I want to hit just kind of on Diekman, one last point about him is, especially when you have two lefties in the bullpen, you kind of want them to be opposite type guys. And I think that's what Diekman is, because Raley averaged, I think, 90 miles per hour on his fastball last year, and Diekman is in the 95, 96 range. So one thing Stearns and any good present baseball ops GMs tells you is that you need multiple different looks in the bullpen. And Raley and Diekman are different looks. And I think if you go back and look at all of the guys that the Mets acquired, particularly last offseason, or going back, you can look back multiple off seasons, a lot of the guys that they picked up on minor league deals or waivers, that type of thing, to try to work out in the bullpen, were all guys that were 95, 96 right-handers that threw a particular type of slider. And we saw that that just didn't work out last year, whether it was Sam Coonrod or Jeff Bigham, or it was just arm after arm that just didn't work out. And it was all the same type. And that was really how the Mets bullpen was built last year for the most part. Sure. And so now you get those different looks. Diekman and Raley are two lefties in the bullpen that are very different because of the velocity they have. And like you mentioned, last year they didn't have a single guy who threw a pitch over 100. Senga had one at 99.8, and that was the closest thing they got to 100 last year.
Sure.
Fujinami threw 136 pitches of 100+ last year. Edwin Diaz threw 100 pitches of 100+ the year before. So now you are getting two guys, and obviously it's not all about velocity, but it's really tough to build a successful bullpen if you don't have these type of arms to look. 95 is much different than 98 99 100, so it's a huge change for the hitters to be able to have a guy like Fujinami come in the sixth, seventh inning and throw 100. And like you said, it's certainly a project. I mean, he signed with his first year in the big leagues coming from Japan, and he signed with the A's, and they were hoping that he was going to be a starter, and that just didn't work out. He just didn't have the pitches to be a starter. They moved him to the bullpen, and he pitched better for them out of the bullpen. And then he went to the Orioles, and I think his ERA is 4.85, but all the other numbers were much better in the bullpen for him. The strikeout numbers, the walk numbers were better. The hits were down. everything was better. His stuff was better. And so you've got a guy that's only been in the big leagues for 1 year. And sure. For a portion of that, you had a team that was not using him correctly. And we've seen what that can happen with players that leave the Mets, right? That sure. They've didn't use correctly in the bullpen, or guys that have come to the Mets that have been successful when other teams are doing it. So yep. This is really where the Mets are hoping to cash in, where you've got a guy that's going to work with your pitching staff, your coaching staff, and you're going to get him to a point where you hope the big thing is command, right? With Fujinami, command and control, him being able to throw more strikes, but also making sure that his fastball isn't in the zone as much or in the middle of the zone as much as that has been. But I think when you can get a guy like this with this type of stuff for 1 year, $3.3 million, sure. Why not? He's not old too. He's 29.
Right.
So this is an arm that potentially, if he has a good year with you, you definitely want to re-up him and keep him with the organization. So
sure.
This is absolutely the type of guy you target with that type of deal. And you target when you're hoping to get a seventh, eighth inning guy from this type of price point. We saw the other deals. We saw like the big Josh Hader deal, and we saw like bigger deals than this, like Hector Neris, what he got. Wandy Peralta got like a weird deal.
8,000 opt-outs for like a $4 million contract. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw some other guys that got some bigger money. And sure. Look, the Mets just weren't going to do that. And like I said, they have Diaz there. So it does make some sense. So you have to try to find these guys that are going to be able to pitch in some high leverage situations, right? Because Diaz sure. can't pitch in all of them. Raley can't pitch in all of them. So hopefully if you get Fujinami to command his stuff better, then you've got that guy who that's the upside pick, right? Like when
right.
you,
right.
This is a guy that has high leverage upside and that's what you want. That's what you need. That's the same thing. Like when they signed Lopez, everyone just sure. looked at his ERA from last year, and fair enough. That's certainly why the Mets got him at that price point. But sure. this is also a guy that was a all-star reliever a couple of years ago and certainly has high leverage upside. So
sure.
I liked what Stearns was doing with the Mets bullpen before these two mm-hmm. signings and Ottavino. So I certainly like what he's done now. Diekman and Ottavino give them some stability, and Fujinami gives them that high upside arm.
Yeah, and I'll get to Ottavino in a second. And just to kind of put a capper on Fujinami, I do want to look at it here. You know, obviously, like you said, rookie last year, different con come from Japan, same kind of deal with Senga, but 9 home runs and 79 innings pitched might be a little alarming to you, but like you were kind of talking, 6 in Oakland, 3 as an Oriole. Obviously, we know, like you're talking about, was starting in Oakland, probably was not in the best position there, goes into that reliever role, seems to find a little bit more comfort. Obviously, you cut down those home run numbers in half, which you like. Jorge Lopez, another guy you mentioned, I think could be another, you know, quote-unquote diamond in the rough there. Gave up, for me, a lot of home runs last year. You look at his totals, I think it's 11 or 12 that he gave up last year. Obviously, that's kind of cause for concern, but I think you're seeing a lot of the same guy like we're talking about. Guys that, you know, maybe aren't coming off the best years, spurts of it possibly, but have that high upside that could really turn into weapons for them. And I think that's what, you know, 2024 is kind of about for the Mets. And I think for Stearns too, like we're talking about, to put a capper on that, just as far as trying to find a couple of those, you know, possible diamonds in the rough that can, you know, be in their plans from 24 and beyond. You throw a lot of arms to the wall, see what sticks, and hopefully something kind of, you know, you have a good kind of formula of the 6th, 7th, and 8th to get to Diaz. But with that being said, just kind of with the bullpen, seems kind of, this is, you know, rounded out at this point. Who do you see kind of, or would you want to see fill in those 6th, 7th, 8th inning roles, getting the ball to Diaz? Like how you see it now with the bullpen, kind of the way it's constructed, who do you see kind of taking those roles?
Well, I think we kind of talked all about the guys that are going to see some of those.
Sure.
And I think it's going to have to be between Stearns, the rest of their staff, and Mendoza, who really shows up out of that group. I mean, I think Raley, obviously, from what he did last year, has shown that he can pitch high leverage situations. since he came back to the States, he's been a very good left-handed reliever. And that I think Mendoza is going to use him pretty actively. And then Diekman, Fujinami, and Ottavino, all the guys they just signed in. Lopez, like you mentioned.
Sure.
Diekman, Ottavino, and Lopez all have plenty of experience, again, pitching in high leverage situations, the seventh, eighth, and even the ninth inning for some of those guys. I don't think there's going to be any like, oh, this guy pitches this inning and that type of stuff. And I mean,
that's bridged by committee, whoever's kind of the hot hands pretty much.
Yeah. And I think, that's what most good organizations do anyway these days, right? Like these things change from day to day, from week to week, to month to month. I mean, year to year. I mean, Evan Phillips was one of the best relievers in baseball last year. Like that, things change. Like Lopez could turn back into an all-star type guy, and then you have him and Diaz at the back end of the game, and that looks really, really good.
Sure.
Fujinami could turn into a stud seventh and eighth inning guy, and then you've got three options right there, not even mentioning Raley. So ultimately, Stearns, now before these deals, it kind of they certainly needed to make a couple of moves, and they needed to add a little bit of stability. And I hate to keep using that word, but I believe that's what Diekman and Ottavino really bring to the bullpen as veteran guys that have just gotten hitters out in their career, and they did last year. So why not bring them in? Like, you have to have some of those guys to combine with the diamonds and the rough that we keep talking about.
Sure.
So I think the Mets bullpen is in a good spot right now with the options that they've had. I mean, maybe the biggest question mark maybe now is like, who's that bulk type guy? Michael Tonkin was a multi-inning guy for the Braves last year. So he could certainly do a little bit of that. Lucchese, who I mentioned, I mean, we don't know what McGill's going to end up doing, what his role could be. Even Jose Buto, who looked really good at the end of last year, maybe he ends up in like a Trevor Williams type role. I think the good news is in the bullpen and in the rotation now, I think the Mets are building themselves depth and plenty of options to get some quality innings. And I think, of course, like in the rotation, you would have liked to seen like a Yamamoto or a bigger ticket item. But I do think that Stearns and company have done a good job of making sure that they have a lot of big league pitchers for big league innings, and also got some upside. I mean, like, obviously going to the starting rotation, Severino has that upside, right? Like,
sure.
He's shown before that he can be one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. So you get that type of upside. And I think overall, the Mets have done a pretty good job building a pitching staff on what looks like kind of, I don't like the word transition year or punting or any of that stuff. The Mets they're signing 1 year deals, but you don't do that unless you plan on competing too. Like, you're not going to hand out a bunch of this money just to be like, oh, hey, we're signing veteran arms for $5 million and we don't plan to compete. They're going to compete. I think this is a close to wild card team right now. And there's things that could go one way or another, like Jeff McNeil having a big year or Severino have a big year. Some of these bullpen arms coming through, Marte being healthy. Like I think there's just a couple of things either way that makes them a wild card contender. And we've seen exactly what being a wild card can do in the playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think we disagree a little bit. I think it's okay for me personally. I'm okay with that transition, whatever you want to call it. I think Mets fans understand that this is a two-year kind of plan, that 2025 offseason year seems to be, at least spending-wise, for the big free agents or whatever you want to call it, that they're going to open up then. I agree with the sense that the Mets are still going to try and compete. I don't think they're punting in any way. But I think it's okay to call it a transition year in the sense of, it's, you know, King Cohen's not taking over the offseason by spending $400 million, that sort of thing, actively at least. We know what the payroll looks like, but not like actively doing it. But I think there's going to be more of that aggressive spending. I think maybe save for next year, I think, is more of it. But, You know, I agree with the sense that the way the sport is now, the way how many teams get in, the Mets look like they could be an 85-ish kind of win team there, and I think that should get them a wild card, and that should be the hopes no matter what. And I think, you know, like you said, a lot of it, there are some question marks because you are still leaning on some veteran guys like Marte to, you know, come back healthy. What is the starting pitcher going to do? Guys like Severino, Manaea, et cetera, are they going to step up and have kind of, you know, good upside kind of years? Like you said, is McNeil going to bounce back? Which things like someone like him, I would bet on bouncing back. I think that their core in place still can win with anyone. But I think it's going to be a lot of more so on the pitching side, I guess, guys like Scott and Vassell, trying to see what you have there, right? And some of these younger guys that possibly, you know, waiting in the wings of the minor leagues position players coming up, which I think might be a good kind of transition as far as with the Mets and the top 100 list. I know that ESPN kind of came out and with their top 100 prospects list the other day, and six Mets made it. Pretty much most of the names that we've talked about over the last year or so, right? That's, you know, really no surprise. Jet Williams was the highest ranked, I think, at 31 for the Mets. But I guess, you know, that kind of transitions there. I just want to get your thoughts on the Mets, where they ranked there. Were you surprised at anything? Was it all kind of where you thought these certain players would fall? I'm just kind of curious what you think with those rankings.
Yeah, so with that ranking, with the Mets having six on the top 100, that's the most we've seen so far with Baseball America, Baseball mm-hmm. Prospectus, MLB Pipeline, and then ESPN coming out. The top they had before was five by Baseball Prospectus. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time they've had six with Jet Williams, Acuna, Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford, Ronnie Mauricio, and Christian Scott. I firmly think that Williams, Acuna, Gilbert, Clifford, and Scott are all top 100 guys. Sure. I think for me, Mauricio is kind of on the fence, and the list that have come out have kind of portrayed that he's been on a couple and not been on a couple. So I think the key thing, getting a little off topic, is that now they have five guys that qualify for the prospect promotion incentive.
Okay.
Because that was the last list they were waiting for. So MLB uses Baseball America, MLB Pipeline, and ESPN. And if you're on two of those three lists, that makes you eligible. So now the Mets, Williams, Acuna, Mauricio, Gilbert, and Clifford were on two of those three.
Okay.
So that means that those guys are eligible to potentially get the Mets back a draft pick.
Wow.
Which there's a bunch of different stipulations. Cool. And from like when the time when they come up, and if they have to make sure that they get enough service time and all of that stuff. So there's a bunch of different things to watch. And I'm not sure any of them will hit this year anyway. Like, I think of the group, I know Jet Williams gets a lot of talk, and rightfully so, because mm-hmm. he had a monster season. He's a first-round pick. A majority of people have Williams as the Mets' first prospect, the number one prospect, but I still have Drew Gilbert as the Mets' okay. top prospect. And that's for a lot of reasons that we can dig into another day, but I also think that Gilbert is the most likely of that group to spend the most time in the big leagues this year. I think he's the most big league ready of Williams, Acuna, and Gilbert, and potentially just has the best in the best position too. Like they've talked a lot about playing Nimmo in left field, and Gilbert's a pretty good center fielder. And mm-hmm. look, they signed Bader, but we also know the risk with Bader, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of his biggest weaknesses is that he can't stay on the field.
Yep.
So say Bader gets injured in June and July, and you've kind of already shifted Nimmo to playing a ton of left field, and Gilbert's tearing it up in AAA, it feels pretty natural that Gilbert would be getting called up. And I don't think that's a hugely unlikely scenario, right? Like, again, Bader is a guy that's missed a lot of time.
Sure.
In his big league career and has in recent seasons. And so I think Gilbert is the most likely of the guy that we sees the most playing time in the big leagues this year. And maybe second most likely is Christian Scott. Okay. I know he's been getting a lot of publicity recently just because, I mean, Mets fans didn't know a ton about him.
Sure.
Certainly before this year. He had a great year and finished in Double A, but Baseball Prospectus kind of had people thinking about him more once they put him on their top 101. I think he's got three big league pitches, and the really only kind of obstacle for me from Scott is just pitching, is just building up innings. This is a guy that was seen as a reliever. He's been used as reliever in college. So he just doesn't have a lot of innings on his arm right now. And he hasn't built up or pitched a lot of innings in a season, which obviously is an issue as closer you get to the big leagues. Cause, starting pitching, we know they don't go as much as they used to. Like, we're not talking 180, 200 innings, but you still got to build up to 100 innings where he hasn't been. So that'll be something to watch for Scott, is can he still be healthy and successful once he builds up the innings? I just think, for me, he's the by far probably right now the Mets' top pitching prospect. And like you said, I mean, the Mets do have some fair amount of question marks in the rotation after Kodai Senga. Mm-hmm. Quintana missed time last year. He's certainly not getting any younger. Luis Severino has missed significant time over the last couple of years, / not been good at times. Adrian Hauser is more of a depth type piece. And Sean Manaea, again, another guy who's just kind of been up and down the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I certainly like that signing. There's upside there, but we're talking about guys that there's question marks. And guys, I mean, organizations start 8 to 9, 10 guys every year anyway. So that's just the first five. And then we know Peterson's going to miss a good chunk of the season. We've seen up and down performance from McGill. Lucchese looked good last year when he got a chance, but I mean, again, he's never had a long run at being a major league starter. Jose Buto, good flash at the end of the year, 4 or 5 starts, but again, that's the bulk of his major league success. So you could argue pretty easily that Scott is probably at worst the 7th or 8th best starting pitcher in the Mets organization right now, which means you're going to get big league starts this season. And I think he does. It remains to be seen because of injuries, underperformance, what it is. But I think Scott and Gilbert are the two guys of that group that I see in the big leagues this year. And of course, Williams and Acuna aren't going to be far off.
Sure.
I mean, both of those, that Triple-A Syracuse team is going to be really, really fun to watch, because you're going to have Williams, Acuna, and Gilbert there, if not to start the year, certainly at some point. Because I'm sure Acuna and Gilbert will be there, and Williams only got a short time in Double-A, but he's just that good when it comes to getting on base. He's just fine-tuned as a hitter too. Obviously the power is something that we'll hopefully see more of in the future, but I just think with Williams, Acuna, and Gilbert, the Mets have this like next little stretch of position player prospects. I know to this point the trio of Mauricio, Beatty, and Alvarez, and if you want to throw Vientos in there too, I mean, outside of Alvarez, that hasn't worked out as everyone had hoped. But those guys are still young too, but I think it's at least exciting that the Mets have those guys that have gotten to the big leagues and showed some versions of success, but then you have Williams and Acuna and Gilbert right behind them. So the Mets farm system is certainly improved from where they were 5 months ago, 6 months ago, before the trade deadline, and the breakout from Williams, breakout from Scott too. You got to be positive about that. And certainly if you want to call it a transition year, and Stearns has talked about getting some younger guys, some looks beyond Vientos, Beatty, mm-hmm. we're going to see some of these guys. So it'll be intriguing to just see how all these guys progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And to, you know, just kind of put a capper on that, especially your point about Gilbert. You talk about, you know, Bader, we know about the health issues. You don't know what you're going to get out of Sauli Marte at this point. I don't know what how much the Mets are banking on or anything. So between those two guys, and also we know Nimmo's had injury history in the past, you know, you would think someone like Gilbert would probably get, you know, some run this year, and you hopefully it's successful getting his feet wet and to build on. But I agree with you there. And as far as Christian Scott, you know, hopefully he continue to build on the year he had last year, right, of a good spring. And then eventually, like you said, he'll probably be making some starts here at some point, and hopefully he can build on it. The Mets can see what they kind of have there. But I do want to round things off talking about just as far as some free agents and things like that, talking about the offseason. Obviously, someone we've talked about a lot this offseason that we thought was a good fit for this year, Justin Turner. He got signed by the Blue Jays, so that's, you know, kind of off the board. But J.D. Martinez, obviously still out there, I think would make a lot of Mets fans feel maybe a little more confident about kind of this offseason if they were bring in a bat like Martinez, kind of, you know, solidify that DH role like we've talked about for a while. I'm just wondering, you know, your thoughts on Martinez still, obviously with Turner kind of being off the board now going to Toronto. I'm just kind of curious if you think, you know, the longer Martinez is out there, that that could be something that could maybe benefit the Mets on getting a friendlier kind of contract there.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. I've tweeted about it. I just thought Justin Turner was such a perfect fit.
Sure.
Because obviously he would do some DH, but he can play third, he can play second, he can play first. Sure. I thought he's the perfect type of hitter to have around the Mets young guys or some of the older guys too. Like, they've had so much in and out when it comes to hitting coaches and different sure. stuff. So I just thought Turner and the philosophy that he has as a hitter would be great to have around the Mets hitters. That didn't work out. Like you said, J.D. Martinez is still a fit, but I think it's less of a fit because he's strictly a DH.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was still very good offensively last year, and Mark Vientos / DJ Stewart is kind of what you're looking at DH right now, and that's to me, a huge question mark. I like Stewart had a nice finish to last year, but outside of that and a little bit of power his rookie year, he hasn't done much in the big leagues. Vientos, again, this is a guy that hits the ball very hard and has some power, but chases a lot of breaking balls, generally just strikes out quite a bit. He's someone that needs to make more contact so that he can show off that power potential that he has. And let's face it, they put him out at third, but he's mostly a DH first base type too with Vientos. So I think Jorge Soler is probably the best fit.
Right.
I mean, again, not only is he the best fit, but he's going to probably command the bigger deal, right?
Sure.
But Martinez, you might be able to get on like a 1 year with an option. Soler, I think, is probably going to get 2 or 3 year type deal. But he can at least stand in the outfield, which he's
sure.
He's done. And again, like we talked about, right, you just don't know what you're getting from Marte. So just having another body
sure.
that has experience playing in the outfield certainly helps. I think it's what the Mets should do is get a DH. Again, I'm kind of caught in between because I certainly do want to see Vientos
sure.
get more at-bats. But I think last year was certainly the opportunity for that, and they kind of really missed the boat on that. And it stinks for this year because he should have got a longer look and a more consistent look. Like, Vientos went from being a guy who played every day to being a very part-time player, not really knowing what his role was at all.
Right.
And wasn't successful in that. I mean, kind of hard to blame him. That's a tough spot to put a young hitter in, and it just didn't work out for him. So the Mets didn't really get that extended look going into this year.
Cool.
And again, it would be nice if Vientos is a type of guy that becomes their DH. It would be nice to have that homegrown piece that they developed, and would also give them a potential option long term at first base, right? Like the elephant in the room with Pete Alonso being a potential free agent. But Stern said his plan is to win every year and or to compete every year and to compete for a wild card, compete for playoffs. It's tough for me to say that J.D. Martinez or Jorge Soler doesn't put the Mets in a better position because it does.
Absolutely.
Even if Vientos does what you think he might be able to do on a power standpoint, he's going to put up the type, again, in the good scenario, he's going to put up the type of years that Martinez and Soler had last year. So you have that certainty with those guys, knowing that they've both had pretty lengthy careers of being good offensive players. And if you want to win, you inject those into the lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think we're agreeing the fact that it's tough to say you're going to compete and not call it a transition year if you're not going to solidify the DH. It's something that, you know, it's obviously not Stern's past regime now, but the organization the last couple of years has used the DH as a revolving door to rest guys. That's not what it is. You need a thumper there. You need someone to help protect Lindor, Alonso, etc. Also, take pressure off of guys like Alvarez and such, younger players. I mean, you want to solidify the lineup. You bring in, and I agree with you, Martinez or Soler, someone to solidify, and you know whatever it is, you know you have to do as far as, like you said, Soler's probably going to be a multi-year deal. Martinez, you probably hopefully can get on a one and maybe an option, whatever. But you need to solidify the middle of that lineup, however they have to do it. That's, you know, outside of the starting pitching, which it seems like they're just going to roll what they have and let some of these guys in the minor league you're talking about, like Scott, kind of, you know, get some starts to where you're at, and they'll probably reassess the deadline if they're in it or whatever. But I don't see them even getting into things, you know, by the middle of the year if they don't have solidified the middle of that lineup. So, you know, that'll be interesting. And I guess, you know, the closer we get to spring here, hopefully guys like this will be more apt to sign with the team. It can kind of help, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But I think that's going to wrap everything up for this week. Obviously we'll keep everybody kind of updated if the Mets do make any more signings or anything like that, but we're in the home stretch now, folks. It's February pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day. It's as we record this 10 days away. Got the Super Bowl next Sunday. Once that's over, baseball's full bore as far as we're concerned here. So we got past the worst part of the winter and we're turning a corner and spring's almost here. So, we'll end on that. Like we said, if anything comes up between now and then, we'll obviously keep you updated and we'll hit you up next week as far as with another show and anything else going on. But until then, as always, let's go Mets.